interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate change, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, postulated cricketism to bring you behind a woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTW RLM 540. As we continue the witness of what's nonsense in the world, and I just can't see how it gets fixed. I think people are just going to get fed up, and I don't know that that's the right way to go, and I've been an advocate against that. I seem to see a lot of people saying with this new thing coming on, with the new variants, I'm going to not comply. I've suggested to you, it's not you not complying. There's nothing to not comply to once you identify. Once you identify, there's no authority for any of it. And that's what the big deal has been, and they got over on us, and they're going to continue to do that. People don't quite appreciate what police power is when it rears its ugly head and you don't have a record to stop it. One thing that can rear its ugly head is surprise, and I guess there's a recall going. There's a PSA here for y'all. If you have a dehumidifier, you may want to check out the brand. These things have been recalled. Apparently, they just heat up and burst into flame at some point. Have you seen these dehumidifiers? Stop using them. You might die. I won't read much more. Get the link, because there's a couple more links attached, and you can make, I guess there's a rebate out, for a recall on it, for you get your money back, I suppose. But reading through it, it's pretty dangerous. Again, unsuspecting. You might want to say, I don't want to comply, but this one can kill you. So like this other stuff, if you don't, you allow an official to, in this case, you're letting the official tell you there's a problem. Why don't you go ahead and listen to it? In the other case, they don't have an authority, and they tell you to do something and it hurts you. So this is all strict liability to us. There's no corporate limited liability to any of this. Partly why I come every week to explain what I think I know, I've seen, what I've done, my experience. And we have to be careful, and we have to take that responsibility. So those of you that may have your dehumidifier in these times, trying to get the moisture out of the air, you may want to check this out. It sounds like it's pretty surprising, if nothing else. Another thing that's surprising, having the government swat you. And a Louisiana man arrested by a SWAT team for a Facebook joke about COVID-19 wins case. So here you are. You got to be attacked. And they claim that this is justice that you get to win by going to court. They're claiming this to be a win for free speech. In a pivotal defense of free speech and online expression, the Fifth Circuit, U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, has rendered a verdict upholding Waylon Bailey's right to jest about COVID-19 and zombies on social media. The Louisiana resident, previously arrested under the cloud of anti-terrorism law for his humorous Facebook post, now sees the tide of justice turn in his favor. So we could read a little bit more, but I don't think I want to. Just understand, this is where we start to go when the definite line of free speech is not upheld, when they don't. And this is why I'm an advocate for going ahead and finding what the law, if you will, the crime is relative to speech. You don't incite riot and all that other thing. You don't threaten the people. You don't do those things. Those are listed. That all these social media groups should be doing that. All your government should be looking at that. And if your speech doesn't fall into those, they necessarily have to leave you alone. They shouldn't shove you through court case where you can defend yourself against the onslaught of the government, the awesome power of the government, that police power. It's very difficult. Good for him, Waylon Bailey. Good job. I guess we can still joke a little bit, but see, that's now been thrown all underneath the bus here, where he has to fight. And now there's just an adjustment made by people. They may or cops may or may not feel offended to come after someone else. And they just keep testing you. And that's where I started to notice the problem. Because you may know your rights, it doesn't mean that it stops against you. But I was just talking to someone and saying, you have to make a record of you can't just, like in the auditor, I guess this was the auditor. The auditor just can't say, I know my rights and this and that, or just say, well, you can't ID me. When the cops keep repeatedly doing that to you in any context, like they did to me in my very first traffic ticket that I kind of had the awakening, what was going on. You have to, when a set of city cops came after me, every time I came into town, I had to set the record by writing a letter and then documenting. It took a long time, 6 months, to document enough before they would back off. And then they said that they wouldn't do what they denied they were doing the entire time anymore. And so you have to set that record. So this is what has to what starts to happen in this lawlessness that goes on, where your rights are not presumed up front. And that's why it's so important to even protect the constitutional ones. The ones that are written or that are being run down, or we can't protect those. You're not going to protect the more subtle rights. So notice this was pretty good. He had to go after it. He had to go defend himself. He does. He prevails, luckily, because it's getting so close anymore. But this is what it's taking now, where we have in Louisiana, you have a right to joke around. A judge rejects the First Amendment challenge to California's social media censorship law. Somewhat of a contradiction from other courts. And my thought on that, when I first saw that very top bit, I'm not so sure. Maybe this is that case. You get two circuits, in the federal system that have opposing contrary decisions, and then you get to go to the Supreme Court. That's one of the check marks you have to put on your list of how do you get to the Supreme Court. You got to find that there's a differences in the district across the country. A lawsuit filed the First and 14th Amendment grounds by Minds, the Babylonian Bee, Tim Pool, and national religious broadcasters in a bid to contest what's known as California's new censorship law has been dismissed. So think about this as you're moving your case forward. You got to read this and see how they failed. Essentially, I'll just get to the nubbins of it. We'll get through all the numbers. You can see it. When you get down to the bottom, the judge actually says there an actual injury or realistic danger or injury was not successfully alleged. None of these guys, none of these organizations, not even Minds, none of you folks, put together something that showed that you were directly affected by this law. In fact, the judge brings out an interesting thing. They're not considered platforms to be subject to this law in California. How Minds is not a platform is a real interesting thought. I didn't dig deeper. Maybe that's an interesting condition. If that's Minds is not a platform, then maybe we need to start learning how to be Minds as far as our so-called platforms. Move them outside of the realm of that. What is it special about a platform is likely defined in the law. However, some people that we may know through the internet, anybody here, failed. And so you didn't have standing is the point. That's the whole rule. You got to be harmed, and the court has to be able to do something in order to mitigate that harm or end it, hopefully. So, interesting case, a little bit, but their censorship law and extent so far, those people that sued did not match that status, and therefore they did not allege a harm, and therefore the case, the court has no jurisdiction. Pretty simple that way. Not sure I would have picked that up beginning. I didn't read the court case or anything, but you're always having to read whether or not you have standing, and it's really, the courts are real. Well, federal court is closed. The doors of federal court are closed to you, so you have to open that door. It's what's called getting past the threshold. You have to do that. So you have to find a harm that's actionable by the court that's harming you, not a conjectural idea. And so, interestingly, Minds and Babylonian Bee and Tim Pool and the religious broadcasters failed because they're not considered platforms, and that law will not affect them. I thought that was kind of neat because now they have a judgment that law will not affect them. So it's a backhanded way to get your judgment. But anyway, Muska reveals that on another social platform, radical new plan for X, a.k.a. Twitter, the billionaire has announced that the social media platform, and see, they named the word their platform, so apparently California law would apply to these guys. Didn't see them in the loop of fighting that case, but at any rate, the social media platform will soon become the go-to, listen to these descriptions, quote, global address book. The global address book. I hope you've been listening to what I've been saying and how I've been I've been putting together things. Don't look like they're together in the news, but they're there to tell us what's going on. That the global address book, I wanted you to attach it to what I just said earlier, a residency, and you find out that global address book with global is globalism, and you have an address that's a resident, a global citizen, and they can serve you wherever they find you. And Twitter is setting itself up to do that, the all thing. It's going to be a place where all authorities can address you. And if you don't if you don't have a right, an understanding on how to defend yourself, as I'm attempting to do to more poor people, explain how you identify all that, to stay different away, then they will collect you up at some point. It's not going to be so obvious today, but pretty soon they start to bring it. The more you engage, the more you verify, the more you give your information, the more you tie into the electronic, the interwebs, the battlefield, the Internet of Things, they have you in a global address. Please understand the power of the words here, whether or not they're yet applying them that way. X, formerly known as Twitter, will soon allow users to make audio and video calls. The company's owner, Elon Musk, announced on Thursday, saying he aims to make the social media platform the go-to global address book. Remember what he wants to do with this. It's an economic, a money, fiscal transferring mechanism in the future. And so this is your address. This is going to be where they find you for service of process eventually. As we already hear, you can be served a legal notice through Twitter. That was the first indication early on years ago. So this is going to be your address book. So they're converting you over into these little, we're talking about a straw man. This is a digital straw man. And they're going to give you this set of factors that are unique to you. And that will identify, that will be you. Not you, but you. And so, interesting thing that's coming through. I hope people see it. I understand that there's going to be maybe a big bailing going on with a lot of platforms making new rules for September. I don't know how many people are going to go and where they're going. But Discord and Twitter and somebody, two other organizations, I think it was Substack and maybe Gab, I don't know, but I'm not on any of them, so I don't know, but well, except for Twitter, but they're making rules changes and people are not up with it. They're going to bail. So watch, we're going to watch as this thing starts to shake out again. And my concern has been those of us that see this stuff need a place to communicate. You're not going to do it really on the social platforms. It's going to take some new system that's really anonymous, absolutely anonymous, and somehow we're going to have to find each other and keep up with each other, but the work will be on us. That's our responsibility. If we want a line of communication that's not going to be censorable, conditionable, addressable, suable, all that stuff. Your global address. Pretty interesting little statement here. Doesn't seem like much, but it's a big deal as I think this thing moves on. The Washington Post calls for reducing free speech to improve democracy. The lead tag here, the embarrassing state of journalism. As we see cancel culture step in. No, we're going to control, Washington Post is going to control and reduce free speech to improve democracy. See, democracy is not about free speech. Direct democracy is certainly not about free speech. That's what Elon Musk is going to create with his global address book. You understand? Think about that. Think about that. A global address book. How far away are you from anybody now? You don't even know who's out there. So please consider protecting yourself. This is the height of this whole problem as we're moving into it. But the Washington Post calls for the reduction of free speech to improve democracy. In the picture, you see, following Elon Musk's lead, big tech is surrendering to disinformation. And the thing is, it's not actually doing that. What they're being, they're succumbing to the overarching police power of the governments out there to dictate what they're going to do relative to a plausible yet fraudulent police power concern, national security concern, something within the context of a mass harm that they say happens and they want to protect against. And that is, you see that in the COVID swindle. That's what they did. I told you, I showed you how, right in the code, there's no way for them to be able to do that. Very few people can pull this off. It's quite interesting that the Louisiana guy was able to. So I think that has to do with that court. Possibly the South is a little bit more conducive to free speech. And they know a joke when they hear it, and that's all that it took. In a very post-2016 fashion, the Washington Post last week published an article implying democracy might require curbs on freedom of speech. This unsettling approach suggests concerns about overbearing misinformation on social networks, supersedes freedom of speech and moves that as elicited intense debate and rightly so criticism. In what appears to be a shift in public discourse towards further censorship, the widely read Washington Post article critiqued Elon Musk's reinstatement of former President Donald Trump and social media platform X, previously known as Twitter, in violation of that. If they have a critique, they have the critique. What they don't have is the right to then call for someone's removal. The critique is nothing more than an opinion. However, This is what's moving on. It's not a consistent, we get a judgment for free speech in one state, and we don't get it in another. And then we find out, oh, there's special classifications. And I've been asking you for decades now, over a decade, to identify your status. And if you think you're in one that's can be conditioned, can be regulated, you need to move yourself. You need to change yourself. And if that means moving yourself from a platform at this case, in this case, that's what you have to start to do. And the people are, it's not that people don't. And there's nothing much more to do than to remove yourself in this case. So a lot of the things I talk about is really against the government that wields the power that can control the private sector, which is, you see, going on with the platforms. One other new things here going on, and I would certainly think the Washington Post would probably want to censor this as misinformation. Sura Namaskar, a daring space mission aims to stop the threat emanating from the sun. Now, the title's pretty awesome. You're going to stop a threat emanating from the sun. I don't know how you're going to do that, but that's pretty big and bold statement. I don't think the Washington Post would want to hear this story. I think they would want to censor this short story, certainly from RT. India's Aditya L1 will send back 1,440 images a day to predict solar flares, coronal mass ejections, and geomagnetic storms, the likes of which turned 40 of Elon Musk's Starlink satellites into fireballs last year. And Tamitha Scove was interested that they didn't pay attention. Those people who launched those rockets didn't pay attention to the geomagnetic storm that had just happened heading our way, and they launched those satellites right into a storm. None of those people that were sending rockets up paid attention to the environment they would be in. She was dismayed. I was dismayed when I heard it. And so this is what now India is going to try and solve this. But I wanted to point out, you go down and read through, very interesting stuff here. There's a sun out there. It's dynamic. It can cause trouble. And it says going on here, what they're going to send their satellite out is to the Lagrangian point, which is a place out in space that it sits in one spot, and it goes around the sun. It sits in one spot relative to where it goes in the sun, and it doesn't change its perspective, almost like a geosynchronous orbit for the sun. It has a nice steady eyeball looking at everything. And they've dumped a whole bunch more tools, sensors on this thing to be able to start looking more and more at it. India is advancing their space program, actually mimicking NASA. Now they're going to have their Air Force pilots now become astronauts. That's what this becomes all about, not just looking at solar radiation. It's not solar winds and things. It's looking at radiation and their first astronaut corps getting done, ready to be put together in India. But read down and you find the solar flares have an impact on the El Nino. I've been talking about this, but here it is from India, too. It's all over the place if you look. Solar flares have an impact on El Nino effect, warming Earth's oceans, which determine global weather. That's an even bigger statement. They're saying that this determines the weather. I have to say it has a big effect. You see this in the hurricanes right now. We talked about them coming into this season. But you have to understand, it says the solar flares have an impact on El Nino. It has an impact on the Earth. There's a sun. And I know this doesn't, it sounds trite, but this is the whole point. What you're up against with these globalists is the UN type, the sustainability people, the green religion. They literally, listen to their language, if you look at their books, they literally have no mention of the sun. They do not recognize it. That's why I keep hitting on this. It's one of your things to observe. When you're looking at reality, these folks don't look at reality. And the lack of reality is how they cancel your culture. They just take it out. There's no authority for it. They have no authority whatsoever. But there's a sun, and it affects the earth and the weather. And who'd have sustainably thunk it, Greta? Who'd have sustainably thunk that there was a sun out there that could impact the weather? It's not going to be in their minds. And this is the insanity you were facing in Covey Swindle, and I told you, you don't want to argue with these folks. And this is, so it's all just sitting here to remind us we've got them out there, and they can show up at any time to cause trouble. The problem with this is that these folks that will deny the sun have been pre-positioned long before most of y'all started to understand this was a problem. And it is our problem because we're behind quite a bit. What I've been trying to do is in explaining how you combat this. So this is a very cool story. India's coming on the scene. Again, now you remember this is now the BRICS and this is all that development in the global south. They're making a name for themselves. Great. These people deserve whatever they can grab for this stuff. It's kind of cool. I don't know this has probably got a more better purpose than just going to Mars or something, I suppose. I don't know why those folks want to go to Mars when they're telling you that all that's left up there is some carbon dioxide and there's not a tree around. But that's Elon Musk, I guess. And so we move on through here. More video. Louisiana facing down unprecedented number of wildfires, breaking state records. Okay, so they would say that this was anthropomorphic warming, global warming, but it's not. And I'm going to point out something kind of interesting. There's little tidbits of information, but amid an unprecedented year for wildfires around the globe, the latest place to experience record-breaking blazes is Louisiana again, right, where there was a hot spot for the freedom of speech, too, as you understand, which has been seen most fire-prone conditions in a generation emerge in recent weeks. I want you to look at that, conditions in a generation. This is anthropomorphic, this part, the generation. Man does this generational stuff. It doesn't necessarily create the conditions of the weather that are cyclic. We could have planned it. And this is what my gripe was when we were doing firefighting conditions, considerations with the Forest Service and all this stuff. Before those big fires and before the one they took out California and before all that, I've been doing this, almost for 10 years now we've been studying this and making policy and national wildfire policy. I wrote the white paper for my colleagues, and we got that all put together for counties around the country. The Louisiana, I'm sure, had this information as well. This becomes the same answer to all of it. The generational condition is a man-made condition. That Mother Nature has these conditions that come along periodically that tax that situation. It should be in the mind of man, but this is the artificial intelligence of man not working whatsoever. Wildfires this many and of this intensity are unprecedented. But are they unknown? And are they manageable? And we found out when you manage your forest correctly, you anticipate these things to some percentage, high percentage. Again, you're not typically going to manage your forest to a 70-knot wind like you see periodically coming up here. You saw it in Maui. You saw it in California. You saw it in the Rockies. That's not what you manage for. You manage your forest for more temperate-type conditions. And so at the 60 and 70 knot wind level, you're not going to have a plan. There's just nobody nowhere. However, they don't know necessarily. I don't see these winds in Louisiana. And an interesting little commenter made an observation, but these wildfires are unprecedented. So it doesn't mean more than that. Why would they be unprecedented in the drought-prone conditions we've had in a generation? They keep mentioning this generation. Let me point you to a Twitter commenter that made an observation on this condition. He goes, the media says 16,000 plus acres of Tiger Island, which is where one of the fires is, in Louisiana, has been burning through forest. But these uniformly dense planted monocrops of trees are nothing like forests, and they are incredibly vulnerable to high-intensity fire. Of course, there's no mention of this. And this is just another dimension to mismanage forests. They're doing these forests like this in this condition, likely for products, high density, high yield products that they're going to make. The problem is they're not managing it for fire risk. And so that part's anthropomorphic. They mismanage that relative to the conditions they're seeing. And so the nature happens around this. But to then come and say, oh, this is the highest temperatures and we're getting hotter and it's global warming. No, it's just a mismanagement. We see this everywhere, it seems. The same thing going up in Kanukistan. And you know, here's one of the things. If they started harvesting, they would create jobs. They would create money. They would create timber. They would sequester carbon by making timber that would be built to make things. But do you realize all the timber coming onto Kanukistan, how cheap all that would be? And see, corporations can't make too much money when things get too cheap. In fact, if I get to it, you're going to see they destroy product. They don't mind this forest being destroyed on a business level. It's pretty sick, but that's what's going on. It has nothing to do with carbon. It has nothing to do with CO2. None of that. But the point being is Louisiana facing unprecedented fires. Some of these places, they've mismanaged their forest. Lots of places. I've told you a lot of the forests are managed at a class, what used to be the old classification, class 3. The class 3 class level classification is a fire that once started cannot, it takes nature to stop it. You're never supposed to manage a forest in that condition. You're not supposed to manage it into a second class two, because that's what takes everything you've got to put out. There's a class level one that you put it in, and it's self-extinguishing. That's the proper management. And so there's a way to do this. It's just they don't. And everyone tries to shove the profit margins in, and they get caught. They didn't. It's unprecedented. I can't believe they didn't know this, but they want to say it's unprecedented. They get one out. This is the first year. They should never do this again. I don't think that's going to happen. But this is what the game they play. And I just want to keep pointing this out. This is us. What's anthropomorphic is not the weather. They're using that name to politically change the climate. The climate they're changing is the political climate, like we're seeing going through with the Democrats and Republicans and this kind of thing. But it's even more subtle than that, because they're coming into your towns and they make these policies, fire management instead of fire suppression. They then also come in and they do leverage funding to do all these ecological, well, they're actually the environmental issues, and they steal from the taxpayer, because the taxpayer doesn't understand to make their property non-taxable in the fact of its status. No one knows about this stuff, it seems. So, again, a lot of money paid in all these fires. That's another business side angle going on. A lot of big sucking sound coming from being able to fight these fires all summer long. And the big money is out there, but it doesn't, again, it's fiat. So that's how they get to do this. There's no pressure to start managing better because there's no money. Again, they just print it. They just send it out. But if you look at the hard currencies, like gold, you see the manipulation going on. Gold falls on Fed Chair Powell's remarks. Now, this is interesting stories as we're coming in through, and I've been saying go to your hard currency. You're going to have to find the alternative in our world here, other than that the system uses. Gold falls on Fed Chairman's remarks. The remarks were pretty remarkable in their ignorance. But again, this is showing us, if we just listen, this is a mismanaged system. It's why the economy's on fire, if you will, and not the right way. It's burning down. It's being raised. Interesting sound. Raised is not going up. It's coming down. In his speech Friday, Powell acknowledged the sticky nature of inflation, hinting further rate hikes were not off the table, and the Federal Reserve intends to hold policy at a restrictive level until it is confident that inflation is moving sustainably down towards its 2% objective. Powell sees cloudy economic data, saying that he would proceed carefully. So those of you that are in the heat and you would wish there's a cloud coming, that would be helpful. Maybe even a cloud with rain, that might be helpful. But for Powell, clouds are no good, and they cause him to not be able to see his crystal ball, apparently. But that's the problem. Powell sees a cloudy economic data. What isn't cloudy for him, given the United States cooks the books on all economic data, always? So this is showing us, if we just listen, this is not a system we want. This is not a system that they should attach to people, and we shouldn't attach ourselves to it. These people don't know what they're doing. But the gold responds, I would say gold falls to that comment, but they're responding to this false nature. They're responding as speculators. What I've been asking us to do as people, get into the hard currency, gold and silver, use that daily if we can get back to that. And what we're looking at is it's the buying power that doesn't diminish. It's not manipulating. That it goes up and down to us using it every day is irrelevant. They're only worried about it going up and down relative to their investment in the system, like treasuries, and how that's going to be the cost for holding gold relative to that little bit of raise, 5% or 4% or 5%. We're not interested in all that. We're never going to see that. Over time, gold relative to fiat goes up. It may take stages, it may take years, it may take a generation. It hasn't gone down, it seems. And I don't think it will. But understand what he's saying here. Policy's cloudy economic. That's all he sees, it's cloudy. It's all cooking the books. I think 70% of their numbers are estimated. And we go around as people thinking that someone's got a steady hand on a tiller. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. Just leave it there. And as we're moving into this change in the world, the conflagration in the world of when the United States did what it should have never done, politicized its reserve dollar. The West is losing control over the gold price. So as we see the speculation going on, there's also another play going on where the East is now gaining a bit of control, and London may not have that the same control that it had, and the dynamic of that is also shifting. The East has been driving up the price of gold, breaking the West's long-standing pricing power. That's price fixing. That's setting up you for a fall. This is the problem. This is all a setup, a conditioned system. We the people should have never allowed that. Western institutions are not sellers of gold while the price of were net sellers of the gold while prices was up, indicating a shift in the market. The central banks from emerging markets, along with strong private demand in Turkey and China, are likely behind the increase in gold price. And it's another thing. All this stuff is all speculation, probably, likely, possible. But we have been talking about the central banks coming in and buying more and more gold. I think it's going to have to do with the blending, in the future blending of the two systems that we see is the economic banking system I talked about last week. It sits there, and we tend to believe that BRICS is different. It's the global south versus the west. I guess that's the northern west. But no, it's all one global financial system, not a monetary system, but a financial system. So understand those two different things. But this interesting story about someone's paying attention. They'll explain to us, if we go ahead and read through, what is shifting in the world. It's not just this brick stuff, because I just got to tell you, that's still fiat. They're going to throw a little bit of gold underneath that basket of currency called, for the asset. But it's just everybody agreeing that their debt foolish paper is something. It's no different than derivatives. However, putting a little bit of gold and a fractional gold on that, as I was talking last week, we could hear that in the news. This is how they start. They continue to condition this, and they get people that are not paying attention to believe it's a gold-backed currency. Eventually, it gets all melded together. By then, though, we'll be in digital, and so be careful on how they move that through. But gold will be the king, and the central banks will have the gold, and you won't. That's going to be that. You'll be a token citizen. So the West is losing control, though. Another dynamic moving on for those gold bugs out there. When you start seeing this, the shift has been, it's been suppressed, the price. We've kind of known that, but now there's a driver that may actually bring it back up. I'm not saying it's going to be going far. I'm saying that the controlling systems are shifting. So pay attention to that as we go through. But the gold responds, but that's the speculators. Remember that always. I guess you could buy the dips as you see them. If you're going to use gold and silver daily, it doesn't matter because that's against the commodities. There's going to be a shift here and there. There might be a loss sometimes against gold, but not necessarily. As I told you, if you were holding gold here 10 years ago and buying diesel, the price of diesel fuel went down relative to the price of gold as well. If you're paying in gold, you're paying way less for diesel today in gold than you did maybe 10 years ago. So it's an interesting thing, rewiring of our brain, how this works. But in the fiat system, the inflation that they're trying to keep at 2%, that's the 2% they're getting away from, they're stealing from you, that they think they can get away with. And so understand that this interest rate's a theft on top of things. But ECB, the European Central Bank, explains its anti-inflation plan. Well, okay, that's a title, but there is no anti-inflation plan. If they don't have inflation, they don't make their profit. That's how they steal. They steal it from us. The central bank has raised interest rates from minus 0.5% to 3.75% over the past year to slow price growth. What are they talking about? Price growth. Okay, this is not even talking about the economy anymore. According to Lagarde, which is the president, Christine Lagarde, the president of the European Central Bank, while progress is being made, the fight against inflation is not yet won. The only way they can get rid of stop inflation is to stop stealing, move it from fiat and into this hard currency. So they don't intend to move it there. They have control of this. In the current environment, is that your green environment? The current environment, this means the ECB, the European Central Bank, setting interest rates at insufficiently restrictive levels for as long as necessary to achieve a timely return of inflation to our 2% medium-term target. So they're feeling really uncomfortable. They're stealing like 4% from you right now. They're trying to get things under control. Their house is on fire. And so they probably put their timber too close together and the wind started. But this condition with the gold and that all is being helped along with that cheery news. And the note here I want to point out is when you hear that word, these words, you know, setting the interest rates at sufficiently restrictive levels for as long as necessary to achieve a timely return of inflation, when are these folks going to start communicating truthfully without language found under a couch? When are they going to talk straight to us? See, interest rates are inflationary. So they're agreeing that they're not going to fix it at going to 2%. Then they also attach this theft to the GDP and gauge economic help from that upon this added theft deemed growth. Again, this is all code words, but they're just hiding and couching these in the truth in these code words. They're just going to try and make their theft systemic. They've attached it to the country's GDP, which they're looking to make grow a certain percent each year. Why? Why is it so important? You just want stability is what you really want. No, they want to be able to thieve, and they got to keep you to believe, and we need to have growth. Everybody's got to grow. Even plants grow. So this manipulation doesn't exist in gold-based monetary systems that I can see. Inflation is a theft by interest rates, the thing they're controlling. And they keep it just low enough that no one complains about the gargantuan theft going on continually, diminishing the life of my listener. And so this is what the game is, and we continue to allow it. So many points and things to have fixed that we need to get fixed is parasites eating from us. It would then we see moving over from the bank into Europe, a world laughing at the European Union over Russia sanctions. Again, this was another economic hit. And what I told you was going to backfire. For the first week, the first time I heard it, I said, this is going to be like spitting into a hurricane. It's stated here, it would be a poetic exaggeration to say that the measures against Moscow are working. Hungarian Foreign Minister Peter Szijjártó has said that Europe is destroying itself in the name of supporting Ukraine, and the EU's sanctions policy is a laughingstock on the global stage, the foreign minister said. He declared. And this is the thing, the laughingstock is what Bill Gard was talking. They're laughing at you until you decide you don't want them to be managing their theft anymore, and they got us to stop the theft, period. The thing on this, they say here, and this proves the response of what I was telling you about the sanctions, is that we have the proof of it, of the tangible results of sanctions. The EU chief diplomat, Josep Borrell, claimed on Saturday that the sanctions are, quote, producing hard tangible effects across Russian economy, close quote. The International Monetary Fund has forecast that the Russian economy will continue to grow by 0.7% this year and 1.3% by 2024. So there, we have the tangible results. Those sanctions aren't working. And the EU knows, the European Union knows this, and yet they're still the poodle dog to the United States' destruction. The foreign minister goes on to say, it would be a baroque and poetic exaggeration to say the sanctions against Russia had succeeded in crippling the Russian economy. Europe is destroying itself in the name of supporting Ukraine, and the EU sanction policy is a laughingstock on the global stage. To repeat, trying to drive home the point, this didn't work. He repeated his government's position that the conflict in Ukraine must end this minute. And so we're getting tired of Ukraine, but understand how this is all tied around economics. Absolutely an economic hit. And the United States was incompetent in how it did that. And we can see the theft contributes to the so-called economic health, like the GDP and such. In this report here coming about Japan describing the slowdown in China. Remember I was talking last week that they're doing, it's psychological warfare about the slowdown. It's real. But the point is they exaggerate things and point out certain things to diminish China. Maybe it's justified. I don't know. In the war of wars around the world, we're not in peace anyway. So, but here we see again, if you look out and watch what's going on and listen to two other people fighting, you might learn something for yourself about the relationship you might have with one of them or both of them, or that it may be available happening to you at some point. The U.S. wants China to suffer the fate of Japan. In a trade war, Washington uses the same weapons against foe and friend alike, having triggered Tokyo's economic stagnation with a pact. And I've been saying, as I use Europe and all the thing, Ukraine, all that stuff, in Syria and Middle East, I say that's a carnival mirror of what we look at is a contortion. Those places are when they return, they will return as a contortion to how the government will treat us. We see it right here. Washington uses the same weapons against foe and friend alike. I hope you heard that, because this is already in a headline now. I've been talking about this for years. With China's ongoing economic slowdown, one of the predictions for its fate voiced recently is that it could suffer the Japanification. It'll suffer from Japanification. The term refers to a recent history of Japan, which has experienced relative economic stagnation since the 1990s, with its current GDP continuing to be below what it was in 1995. This episode is often referred to as Japan's lost decade. Although the country recovered in the first decade of the 2000s, its economy slumped again amid the chaos of Fukushima nuclear disaster and has never truly recovered since. The reasons identified for this poor performance include high levels of public debt, an asset price bubble, and low inflation. You see, it's tied to GDP, and if you don't have that GDP growing, you're not being thieved from enough. The United States wants that of China, of Japan, and this article saying that they want that for China as well. As I said, it's a single global financial system. In the trade wars, the U.S. uses the same economic weapons against friend and foe alike, friend. They do it to you at home. Lagarde, Powell, these financial idiots in the world. We're probably bigger idiots for allowing it, but these folks they're just playing a game. They're playing a big theft. This whole thing and theft through interest rates is a fiat system deemed, how they deem that thing an economically healthy issue by plundering and through their privateering, they plunder and control your lives with their cloudy magic eight ball. And we think that they got some experience and some expertise, and it's just a con. These are con men. But until we finally figure that out, I don't know how we don't continue going and being slaves and serfs and continue the servitudes that we do. I don't see any reflection of any kind of responsibility to ourselves or integrity, but with ourselves. Goldman Sachs, and here we want to see they're going to attack China, but Goldman Sachs knows where the money is, used Chinese government money to buy Western firms. And I told you that there was going to be, just like Japan in the 80s was flush with treasury debt, they came back and they deposited it in home by buying real estate and businesses and in the manufacturing processes. That's what happened in the 80s when Japan came back. They took all that debt, and they brought it back home, and they started buying land. We heard last week that Florida is saying, Chinese can't buy land. So what they do, they switched it on over, and Trump did this. We'll read that, too. They went ahead, and now Goldman Sachs, a financial house now, uses the Chinese government money to come back and buy Western firms. So there's a Chinese interest. The bank invested the funds. They call this Goldman Sachs is now a bank. We see that shift. The bank invested the funds in U.S. and U.K. companies, despite trade tensions between Washington and Beijing. United States investment bank Goldman Sachs set up a fund with Chinese state money to acquire a number of American and British companies, including one providing cybersecurity services for the UK government. Isn't that special? In a statement to the Financial Times, I think it says, FT, Goldman Sachs said that the cooperation fund is a U.S. fund run by a U.S. manager and is managed to be in compliance with all laws and regulations. The bank added that it continues to invest in U.S. and global companies, helping them increase their sales into the China market. So, what does that have to do with investing Chinese money in a British company, including one providing cybersecurity services to the UK government? Does the UK know about that? If you can't see that these multinational banks now are in control positions, that are the back, you can see the behind the scenes in this story, the connections that are going on. They may vilify on the front end, the United States may vilify China, but the banks are actually running around the world making more control, making more money, making more investment, getting into UK government back doors. So, again, just put this stuff out there to show you if the United States will do it to a foe, he'll do it to a friend. And our people are oblivious to this. And then this so-called splitting of the system, I just showed you last week. It's a global system. It's not going to be split. What they have to do is bring all these up-and-comers, the countries that just can't do it, and got beat down by the IMF system based in loans they can't keep up with. They've got to give them a side shoot right now, and this is what this is about, Pepe Escobar. Originally, I thought Pepe Escobar was pretty cool. Seemed to be a lot of knowledge. As I read more and more, I think he's more of a cheerleader, so I got to be careful. I got to let you know that. He seems to be a cheerleader. I was going to bring another article. He toned it down a lot. I think he was pretty objective here, one of his recent past articles. But this one, he says, Pepe Escobar, does BRICS need its own currency? That title, I don't even know why he's writing this. But anyway, he has a way. He's got interviews. He goes talk to people. It's a piece of information here. The point about it is that BRICS does not have the need for a currency. It's already been set up to utilize the SDR. I've talked about that. What that is called in the future is irrelevant. I just want you to know that as well. The new era opened up, he writes, in the strategic tour de force in the creation of BRICS 11 involves the make or break issue of setting up a new international economic financial strategy. Right at the heart of the fervent discussion are the merits in designing a new BRICS currency. Brazil's economist Paulo Nogueira, I tore that one up, Batista Jr., a former IMF director who was deeply involved with BRICS from 2007-2015, has noted how a reserve currency discussion among the original five members was already too difficult with 11 even more so. Yeah, it's not even necessary. But I think when you read through this, all credit to Pepe Escobar to get this stuff together, and we look at it, we get to see what people say. If you look carefully, it's almost like he pulled together a bunch of people that maybe don't know what's going on, then a few that do. When you parse through that, it's pretty interesting, because part of it is exactly the ones that look like they do, or I mean, I don't know what this sounds like. They're saying their caution is what I was been telling you myself. But I think this report misses and misframes the situation, appears to miss the point in focusing on BRICS currency. Now, BRICS currency isn't required. This facility is not for the purpose of, when you read the article, the discussion, they say, well, this is supposed to be, you can't buy coffee with this. Well, this whole thing is, I told you, I've explained this. This is between nations. It has nothing to do with buying coffee. This is how nations would bring a balance to their trade, and how they would trust in that, and having a system that allows for that. The SDR functions as an asset from which the trade normalization will occur. An asset, remember, is not a debt. It's configured as something of value. And so we have a comment here in this article. President Putin stressed in the summit of Johannesburg, what is needed is a means of settlement among central banks to keep in check the imbalances of trade and investment in their balance of payments. That's exactly what I told you. Now we see it. That President Putin said the very same thing. That's what this organization is supposed to be about. What the interesting nuance is they've developed a new development bank, but it's really no different. It's just an alternative for the lesser countries. And so this implies the statement here is, this implies no BRICS supranational gold-backed currency. Absolutely. This is a big payment system that has nothing to do with needing a currency. There's no need, none needed. So that going down this track was a bit of a misdirection, I thought, and misframing the point. Anybody reads this, they think, well, this is what we're all about. They're not about this. I want people that listen to me to understand, put your thinking cap on, look at where they're going down the road, and all this is just a lot of distraction in a way, this discussion. It's not necessary. It's already got it built in. What they're timing to do, they're trying to do is get people to buy in. It's that same globalist buy-in system, and they're making it easy for that to happen. And they need to make it happen. And they should be, people should be stepping up for themselves, but they don't understand there's an underlying deception. The West ain't going away. As I pointed out to you, if you read the, if you got to the links, you see that the dollar is part of the basket. When they go through this, they finally get through this in the future. The debt is not involved in all this because the SDR, or whatever is eventually called it, is considered an asset, not debt. But it isn't currency either. Quote, this BRICS bank, they say here, would buy up bonds of member countries according to the SEM quota and then issue a common currency against it with all its gains and losses shared by a member governments. But this, if you change some of the words, that's the basket of currencies, the debt and the gold they put, that supports the SDR. And so I'm looking at this wondering, well, who are these people talking? It's like they're just missing the boat. Are they doing it on purpose or they don't know what's going on? This has been in the writings for a long time. As I said, back in 69, the SDR was created. Member governments are involved, and they've already agreed about this basket of currency. All their currencies are involved. Then he goes on to say that that would create an arbitrarily large amount of liquidity and firepower for the BRICS without requiring any debt to do so. In fact, massively reducing debt while doing so. Yeah, because they're working with asset now, right? All it is an exchange program. How do you get currencies, disparate currencies, to be at parity so that you can continue to do business with each other and not use the dollar? Because you're not up to snuff, to it. You can't, they can't steal from you no more because you got nothing to steal. You're done. And you've said you're done. See, but it's, and the reason why is because it's not separate from the global financial system. The capital G, capital F, capital S. The global financial system is a thing. I explained that last week. If you go back, you see the date of this broadcast and go back 1 week, you'll hear me talk about it then. I got all the links. Go to the blogcaster. Now, quote, he goes on, a quote, explaining how the bank statutes are linked to the U.S. dollar, and that's the reason why the bank is now semi-paralyzed, afraid of secondary U.S. sanctions, is explaining why this new development bank can only go so far. It's linked to the statutes, the bank statutes, and linked to the U.S. dollar. Like I was pointing out to you last week, I gave you the links to those basic things. I asked you to go find out, try to figure out what a swap is. They made that a little bit difficult, and it's through the Commerce Department eventually, right? If you saw that. So keep putting this together, what's going on. This system is not unaffected by the West, even though they're supposed to be called multipolar and separate. The NDB is basically the World Bank, basically a World Bank, which I have heard very little about in a contingent reserve arrangement is written here, which at one point was mentioned as a sort of embryonic BRICS IMF. This expert looking at this with similarly my eyes that I do has identified. This is not a different system, he's cautioning, vehemently cautioning. So what's bound to happen next is, quote, more pronounced yuanization among neutral countries, where China will take subordinate and dependent countries into its orbit, expanding its influence. Now, United States will say that's a bad thing, but again, these are neutral countries that will be coming in subordinate and dependent. Now, United States would like more dependency, maybe not like this. And this is what I was saying about parity. These new countries are coming in under China and don't understand that financially, fiscally, in the monetary system. The parity, this is about the parity. No one is left behind subordinated, just like I was talking about. It's in the news this week, if we were to read it. So I want people to understand this because this is part of how the process of, I guess, debasing your life at home is. You start picking up things that are not substantial, that are not tangible, that are based in promises, that are based in systems that you don't fully understand, and you don't say no. You don't say, hold it, I don't need that. And then you don't go find your own that you do understand. And it occurred to me, I was kind of writing a couple things by discussing this, just loosely discussing some of these concepts. We're talking about mentioning barter. That's really what people do, is barter. But if you look at the tax code, it's made to be taxable. It means to be like it's outlawed and regulated. So be careful of what the fiat system has done and what the government has done and what we think about certain things and how we think about certain things. So we have to, again, I guess we bring our own justice. So in the moment of all this, we see this movement and a shaking going on. It's really not much different. But the West is trying to take advantage. And now, and then we see periodically the courts seem to have the right answer. It's expressed derogatorily, but we still see the truth within it. A Putin favorite oligarch gets his day in court. Here, Putin's in the Johannesburg saying, this BRICS is just an payment system. We don't need a currency. He was right. Absolutely. We may need to have an asset we can use. We can be based in loans. But remember, only 30% are based in that too, in the bank that they're going to run. But Putin's favorite oligarch gets his day in court. We have this guy who's supposed to be sanctioned. The country's sanctioned. The oligarchs are sanctioned. An Australian newspaper courier was found guilty of violating the rights of billionaire Alisher Asimov when it used the moniker. And so we do have a bit here, even as a sanctioned entity. There apparently is a little bit of justice in Australia. Austria. I got that wrong. Austria. A court in Hamburg, Germany, on Friday, ruled in favor of Russian Uzbek billionaire, the USM holding founder, Alisher Usmanov, in his lawsuit against Australian newspaper Courier, in reporting courts. And this was about defamation, ultimately. And so we have around the world, I guess you can't be that freedom of speech. You're going to get yourself slapped a bit. And even if you're a billionaire and you're a Russian, your day may come in court where you are not found to be wrong. Government here, when you do this and you go lawless like this, it becomes government open season. The law falls by the wayside until you can defend yourself, but not before. And this is the thing I'm real critical about, why I want you all to make records and things when you can before you get involved. Okay, it's fine to not comply, but when you should find out that there's nothing to not comply for, and that there's someone that is trespassing you. You need to identify that first. Don't hand them the power by just not complying when there's someone else that has an official power that may recognize they have the power and you don't. So the way this works, the open season, the law falls by the wayside first. Unless you can defend it, and a billionaire apparently can pay to defend themselves, can you in their system? I don't know. But not before? That's just the definition of injustice. And so, based on the world stage and what they've been doing underneath this fraud in the Ukraine war and all this other nonsense, they've vilified people who, luckily in this case, a court came up and said, no, you can't do it that way. You can't do that. But look at it. It wasn't him free of that. He had to go through that. I guess maybe it takes a billionaire to win. We don't hear too many of that. So he seeks justice. It looks like he got it in a way, but it only after he fought for himself and defended himself and was able to. To me, is not justice. When you have a bunch of people that lost their mind, that have no guards at all, that think that their free speech, like the Post, is on them to decide only, and yours is just misinformation, we're in a dangerous time. And I guess that's what I've been saying all along. Start to learn to protect yourself. As I say with Vince Vine, guard your words. That's important. Guard them up front. And I'm saying, as you find out there's really no authority in someone, learn how to deftly identify that in the law, because that's the thing that those folks are needing to obey. And you at least have a measure of reliance on that law for both you and on them as a duty. So keep track. I guess I pull these stories up just to give us a point of departure for really what we're supposed to be paying attention to. We might say, oh, he's a billionaire, you know, whatever. But no, this is someone who got defamed because no one could hold their tongue, thought they had the right to violate somebody. And then it takes a fight to get it exonerated in you. So it's not a world that's becoming too friendly, notwithstanding also called law and justice and all that. It seems like there is none. Biden fundraises off a Trump arrest. Injustice that seems to go on. Someone seeking justice in the United States and going through the courts is ex-President Trump. 91 charges now. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of years of jail time potential. Fascinating. Everybody picking and feeding off of this issue. Biden fundraises off a Trump arrest. The Democrats posted a campaign link apropos of nothing as his rival was being booked in Fulton County jail. To my mind, I'm looking at this, the very serious things going on in the world that denigrate people, and then the people in the United States and the politicians and the political parties, as I said, they use it, they profit from it. As I said, Trump would know what to do with his mugshot. You've seen what he's done. Well, Biden is not underneath that, not without his own. Seems to be P.T. Barnum here would be proud of this American circus. Step right up, folks. Be enthralled. Be captivated by the greatest show on earth. Get your Merc here or donate. Seems to be what's going on. As nobody is, maybe I'm just jealous, right? I mean, everybody seems to get a dollar on this. And for what? What is it about? Is this the type of people that we really want running this country? Is that even a question anymore? Who runs the country? If people are not going to protect themselves, does it matter anyway, as I've been trying to say, relative to each one of the listener who may feel that they need to protect themselves? United States President Joe Biden leveraged his chief Republican rival Donald Trump's legal troubles to raising funds for his reelection campaign in a post on X. The internet address, the global address book. Apropos of nothing, I think today is a great day to give to my campaign, he says. Everybody making a buck. Also, as a slight, and this is kind of funny, too, as you get into jostling about, and if kind of look at how this has all worked out, it's almost like they're just needling each other and hitting each other in the ribs with their elbows. Biden compliments Trump on his looks in that mugshot that he's now utilizing, and lots of people, I think, are making money on. The guy is just money. The Trump guy is just money. I don't care what you look at. And he's good at what he does with it. He's got a good PR team, I think. Well, Biden's not out of it. Whoever he's got around him said they're going to capitalize, and they have. And then he gives another rib shot here, and Trump looked pretty good. Looked like a handsome guy, he says. When asked to the reporters the comment on GOP frontrunner's mugshot, the president jokingly said he was a handsome guy. And I think it was, what's her name? I can't remember. Roseanne Barr. She had a comment. She was all over with him as well. So I guess he shows well, and everyone capitalized on this. The kind of thing that we really want in this country. I don't, again, the American circus, the Kabuki theater. What P.T. Barnum? This is all what's going on. Pretty fascinating, and we keep putting it up with it, and we keep rallying around it, and nobody seems to want to stop. Be a different, a distinction. And then the other problem is, if you don't, this stuff keeps going anyway. And it's not such an easy point. More Biden stories, actually, moving along here, taking advantage of things. And people now starting to look at what's going on. And I think the people of the United States need to as well. Europeans fear Biden will push Ukraine to peace. If you don't understand how twisted all this becomes, Europeans fear Biden will push Ukraine to peace. By this title, no European wants peace in Ukraine, and they're afraid that Biden will bring it. Sounds nothing more than a Democrat. Domestic politics may interrupt the flow of arms to Kiev, anonymous officials have reportedly warned. They do not want peace. And if you don't see the problem in this whole condition, then I don't know what to say. European officials are concerned that U.S. President Joe Biden could nudge Ukraine toward peace talks next year. Bloomberg is the second major U.S. outlet this week to warn the American military aid to Kiev may soon dry up. Who's Bloomberg to want more war? This is your media. This is the information you've been getting. This American Kabuki theater, they only think of peace for politics. As warmongers howl here, It's phenomenal what we allow as people to listen to these folks. You fear peace. When did that happen? But it is happening. It has nothing, reality has kind of gone the wayside. Biden to ask U.S. Congress to fund new COVID vaccine. Now, let's see, Biden. There's a whole machine behind this. Certainly it extends over to Europe when they say, oh, they would be afraid Biden would be a peace deal. Understand, the peace deal went into the waste paper basket of history. Remember Putin said that? Yeah, this is going to, just go back to the news and you'll, or even this broadcast, you'll find out Russia's already said what's going to have to happen, and that's what's going to happen. Otherwise, it's the meat grinder. They're making sausage. That's what they're doing. And so they don't have to worry about so-called peace. All they have to do is stop attacking. And it slowly stops. But they're afraid of that. So, but the attack is on. I said what they're going to do over there, foe and friend alike. Biden asks U.S. Congress to fund new COVID vaccine. U.S. President Joe Biden has announced that he plans to request additional funding. Is he going to ask for that from the mugshot? From Congress to develop a new COVID-19 vaccine, adding that it's likely everybody will be encouraged to take the new shot. The United States President, let's read the lead, the United States President said it was likely everybody would be recommended to take. Start reading for the imperative words. You see none here. There's a reason for it. And this is what they did to everybody. They never talked in absolutes. Everyone gets confused. Oh, yeah, I wasn't forced? No, none of it. Nobody was forced. And I explained why. No one wants to listen much behind the woodshed, but I explained why. It was nothing about force. It was all recommendation. It was all considerations for you, and it was whether or not you would buy into it. You were encouraged. Isn't you being forced? That's all they've been doing. They're speaking the same way. Speaking to reporters on Friday, the president was asked if the White House was planning a response to a reported uptick in COVID cases. How come they didn't use the word surge there, right? So this is not quite so imposing quite yet. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention had previously announced a 21.6% increase in COVID-related hospitalizations and a 21.4% increase in COVID-related deaths in recent weeks. The numbers are, however, still far from below the level seen during the pandemic. Well, again, I won't go through that. Was nothing the United States can do relative to a pandemic that's private. But listen, it's just encouragement and recommendation. Because why? There is no power to require, and they say, a shot. There's no power to require a shot. It's not a vaccine. A vaccine is something that addresses a non-fraudulent infectious agent under local communicable disease law. Biden is not local communicable disease law. What's local? Local to the state. That's the reserved power to the state over health care matters. Congress should say, and you should call representatives, even if you believe in them or not, call them and tell them what's going on. Congress should say it doesn't have the power to appropriate something reserved to the states. Funds, again, the dollars, these bucks. The GDP, understand how they do this as well. You should tell the representatives that then after they tell the administration that they don't have they cannot appropriate money to that's power to the reserve to the states, but that you tell Biden to start send the message that he should obey the Constitution. COVID related is just as likely the effects of the jab related to COVID-19, the symptoms. Right? COVID-related. I highlighted that. COVID-related. What is that? It's the op that they put on everybody. The consequence of running that op and nobody stopping it. So that could be a true statement. Things are COVID-related. Your unemployment's COVID-related. Your employment is COVID-related. Your inflation is COVID-related. Where do we stop? It demarked our whole society now. Because no one stopped it. No one pointed it out. But there's no evidence of a thing here. There's no non-fraudulent infectious agent demonstrated by anyone. Nothing. It's fascinating what we've allowed to ourselves. And this Biden guy continues with all these crimes and things going on. I don't know when people get fed up enough with it to do something. We hear lots of talking. You know, again, it's a uniparty system is probably why. Biden took bribes. Always about money, it seems. The ex-Ukrainian chief prosecutor, I talked about this, I think, last week as well. Have you ever seen such a time? When you read this story, you got to think about something. Read what he's using, this guy Shokin, this prosecutor that was kicked out. Read what he says about his evidence. And I want you to ask, relative to, I said, there's no evidence of the COVID, what causes the symptoms called COVID-19. There's no evidence whatsoever. Have you ever seen such a time when no one can produce a shred of evidence, actual evidence to prove anything? When you read this thing, Shokin, this prosecutor, is going to supposedly finger the Biden took the bribe, said that he had a firm personal conviction that both Joe and Hunter Biden had their palms greased in connection with the Burisma case. The ex-prosecutor also argued that both Poroshenko and Joe Biden understood that if he had been allowed to continue his probe into Burisma, it would have provided the facts about the corrupt activities. It could have provided the facts about the corrupt activities. Can I read that again? It could have provided. There is no evidence here, folks. I read on and on about that. The facts about this corrupt activity by Hunter Biden, Devon Archer, the companies, another American executive, and other people involved. He could have, but he didn't. All his statements are what could have happened had he stayed there. There is a statement here, then, that there isn't any evidence that the prosecutor knows anything about, which now leaves everybody where today? Exactly why you don't see anything happening. And so again, this is more noise relative to the condition, organized crime syndicate of Biden, the money changing hands for whatever reason, whether it's a mugshot or a request to make more money from Congress who has no authority to do it. No one sets limits anymore, anywhere. There's no evidence of anything going on. All the things continue. There's no evidence of now harm for what the actions are that the president wants to request more money to appropriate to do more so-called vaccines. He doesn't even understand that they can't be. You can't have a vaccine that doesn't stop the transmission of an infectious agent you haven't identified. That's right in where? Not federal law. That's in local law. As we see, what's the consequences? What Biden wants to put in, CDC quietly removes the COVID-19 vaccine adverse effects events collection from the website. You cannot now put those adverse events in to tell them about the harms. There's no evidence of an infectious agent and bad evidence against uncorrelated treatments. Those COVID-related hospitalizations. It all happens in the same week. The United States Center of Disease Control and Prevention has halted the collection of COVID-19 vaccine adverse event reports through the agency's VSafe page, even after millions of Americans have reported such events. Now, I want to remind you of a post I did a long time back. I just, epidemiology equals cooking the books. Isolation failure means that there is no vax. A polymerase chain reaction PCR is there is no test. Presumptive pandemic equals fraud. Spike protein is that there is no the virus. But warp speed equals a bioweapon deployment velocity. And XYZ predictability equals op hindsight 2020. If we could pull together how they did it to us, and you look at how they're doing it everywhere else to do us, you'll see the same plan. They proceed with no evidence. No evidence can be found. The authorities are supposed to get the evidence, say they could have found it if they were given the opportunity, which means there's no evidence. And yet everybody proceeds as if there's an authority to do a thing. And because of this, why I've been here to tell you, anticipate these harms ahead of you. Be prepared in ways I don't think anybody talks about like I do, and I don't know, but I did find someone also on ex-Twitter, Mary Tally Bowden, MD. I have to say, a disclaimer, I suppose, I didn't go through the paperwork, but this sounded like something to do along the lines I would want you to do to protect yourself if it's not what I would do necessarily. It may be what you need. Make sure you pay attention. Do your due diligence. But she says, now is a good time to get prepared and have documents in order to protect you from receiving an unwanted treatment in the ER, hospital, or medical care facility. Unlike advanced directives, these documents go into immediate effect, not just when you're incapacitated. You need to take a look at your state advanced directives as well. This is an important time to start looking at that, and I know it's kind of boring and maybe you don't want to do it, but these people killed, with the Kobe swindle, they killed a whole lot of people that wouldn't have had a thought about this. Like I said, I don't know the veracity of these documents. I looked through a couple things. They look like a good start, if nothing else. You need to look at them. Ourpatientrights.com, critical. Do not download or complete the document until you watch the video. I suspect you need to really pay attention to this. But they offer you at least a start on what you're going to need to be able to assert your rights. And I would ask you to consider what I've been saying. I'm challenging that for you, any one of you, in this capacity, that if you have a condition where it's a so-called public health emergency condition, that you challenge that they have not done their duties under the law as well on top of what they're going to ask you to do here, which I said again, I have not really looked at it in depth. But I think something, an understanding, just even reading the words would be more preparation than, oh, I'm not going to comply. Oh, I'm not going to talk to these folks. Oh, I'm not going to, I'll deal with it in the future. It's getting to the point where you can't. As I've said, you see even billionaires are going down. They're being defamed. And that's what all Kobe swindle was. You were being defamed for being a principal contagion, and you weren't. So understand that, how simple that was, right? And nobody, know how many billionaires are you all that you could defend yourself, I suppose. Being that you would be sanctioned at that point, right? I hope you see the correlation. That's why I talk about all this stuff. There's really correlations internationally, what's going on to us here, and why I keep talking about it. But I wanted to offer you what she offers. Like I said, I don't know about saying how well that would work. Look for them in your state. Advanced directives are something slightly different, certainly, and look at those. But those are all legalistic. Those are all lawyer stuff. All that stuff is pretty lawyeristic. Legal lawyeristic, and you would you need to know what you're doing with all of that. And this is the part of the problem. You don't hear me say too many things on what to do because people screw that up. I couldn't even write the what I thought was the proper religious exemption, and people would screw it up right off the bat. There's a certain process on how you apply it. It's not, you don't process it through your subjective view. You have to process it through what the law demands. And I said as a duty on the official. People took my work and they messed it up for themselves. Took away all of their power. And so it's maybe not so simple. It's easy. It's simple to read and see that the duties are there. It's quite another thing to defend yourself when someone's coming after you and they are presumed to have a power. And I've been saying, you take away their weapons. First thing you do is you decapitate them. You take away their knees. You disarm them. You get rid of all the thing they think that their power and their shields are. You get rid of that. And you don't do it on your opinion. Because the consequence of these things is serious. And it may be you. And I'm hoping not, but you never know. U.S. suicide rates soar to post-World War II record high. Why don't they say soar? Why don't they use the word surge here? They use surge everywhere else when it was tied up to the Kobe swindle. Experts delve into multifaceted reasons behind the increase and advocate for increased efforts to address mental health concerns. While you're reading that paperwork that Dr. Mary Talley Bowden is talking about, consider this for yourself and for others potentially on how you're going to protect yourself against your own weakness when it happens. To fight the suicide pandemic, now they call it. If you see how they condition your mind to accept and receive this terminology, understand what a pandemic is. It doesn't exist. But there's a suicide pandemic, they say. A national crisis helpline was introduced last year, making it possible for anyone in the U.S. to talk to a mental health professional. With the CDC promoting numerous mental health initiatives across the country. And I've talked about some of those. We talked about going through Health One. And so you got to be very careful here. I would hope you find some local help if you need some help. Suicide pandemic, though. Let's look a little bit about that. Maybe they can make a vaccine for that. And boy, don't you think they're going to try if they get wind of it. Then again, as a propaganda will here, it isn't a pandemic either. If occurring in one region of the world, per WHO private definition. So you've got to keep working the definitions to show how this news is just a more propaganda, and it's covering a very serious problem. Understand, 49,500 people took their own lives last year for whatever reason. And Kanukistan just said that's going to be okay. You want to help? They want us to help you? If you don't understand where the globalist condition starts to go. So what is the actual cause behind and being the upsurge begins after the warp speed attack? See, they're not going to talk about that either. Are seniors killing themselves after a loved one died? Sounds like what happened after this period. Did you remember hearing those stories? Those aren't even in this list. And remember, there was known jab effects upon mental health. There was also connections to the interference with your nerve functions, which would consider help to facilitate that. As we read that right through the results of the reports and the tests, the causation. The direct effects include brain stroke and inflammation. Those will all cause certain problems, but you're not going to hear it talked about here. No, the people have to start understanding this is serious business when they've got a president that is saying, oh, we want Congress to fund something they have no appropriation power to fund, and we're going to call it COVID-19 vaccine when there is nothing but a biological weapon that's being deployed again and started by Trump. He's going to continue it. All these brain strokes and inflammations and this blood stuff that we're hearing leading to cognitive impairment, loss of smell and taste, remember all that? Yeah, you think maybe that's having a little bit of an effect on this surge of the suicide pandemic? We're talking serious business here, folks. This is, I mean, maybe there's too many people, maybe you don't like people, but this is, they're attacking everybody, and I can't imagine it's not also going to affect the little ones. I mean, I don't even know, it's just horrendous what's going on, what we as a society allow, and now we stand up and we say, I'm not going to comply. This is so much deeper than not complying. It's really scary that that's all that people think that they need to do. I keep advocating, don't do it that way. Show that you have nothing to comply with because they have no authority. Like Biden has no authority to ask Congress, and Congress has every duty to tell them, stop it, shut up. We don't have the power to appropriate money for something, a power reserved to the states. Start using that constitution that we all, those of us that would think that it's something, to start using it. Don't just not present it. Even if it doesn't want to be heard, that just shows you you're dealing with a constitutional criminal. If they're an official. So they're banning, you know, they won't ban the vaccine, but they complain about the consequences, even though there's no evidence of any of it. And so we have a different type of banning going on, an interesting, you know, cancel culture as well. You know, they're canceling you. They cancel you. They cancel your culture, aren't they? And so there's no oversight. But while this American Kabuki theater is standing room only, it's standing room only here in European theater. We won't ban Russian artists because they aren't invited. No how. No need to ban Russian artists. Schultz, supporters of Moscow in the conflict of Ukraine would not be invited to perform in Germany anyway. So listen to this, how cynical this is. These people that are in power, how they come at you. What does a Russian artist have to do with anything relative to a culture? And I don't hear in this, when you read this article here, no need to ban Russian artists. The cynicism of this, the arrogance of this on something that they caused is the other point. You won't hear a reference to art and culture, the arts and culture being protected in international law. In other words, this guy doesn't consider international law when he's discussing things. There's no basis from which he lawfully responds. He's supposed to be an official that's subject to this. There's no reference to it being a violation of international law to interfere with the arts at all. It used to be you embrace this stuff. You go and you destroy a country, you don't destroy its culture. So we're just hearing in the news about these cancel culture types, these folks that would promote and pay for your demise. This is the rules-based order of the West. It's not international law, which is not a law either. I've explained to that as well. These are norms and customs that have been, that nations use to deal with what their difficulties. But no need to ban a Russian artist. No need to embrace the culture either. And on the other hand, no need to protect the five or seven, there's five or seven things that international law is to protect, like the sciences in school, education, museums, art, culture, libraries, hospitals, all that stuff. The stuff that makes you different as a nation, that shows that you at least care a little bit. These folks don't care. They don't care at all. Again, it's just, I don't see how it's not just a theater that's going on. And until people are fed up with it, I guess it continues. But those that he would think, oh, we're going to have our culture. We're just not going to invent their culture. We're not going to invite their artists. We have our culture. He better be careful. There's not going to be any cheap wine here. It's going to be forbidden for all the culture class acting that's going on. France to suspend millions to destroy wine. The government approved a drastic plan amid falling demand and huge surplus that is driving prices down. Fascinating dynamic. They just like milk. You just destroy it. Don't give it away cheap. Don't make cheese. Don't do it because you can make so much. Don't protect for the future either. Just destroy it so you can keep your price. Make it so that those of culture can have their fine wine, expensive fine wine. The French government and the EU will be shell out over $200 million to boot to destroy wine surpluses in countries renowned for its centuries-old winemaking traditions. Agriculture Minister Marc Fresneau said officials in Paris cited sluggish demand, which resulted in overproduction and falling prices. And then I want to show you something over here. Maybe they're going to be a little bit premature about destroying food or whatever, food, wine, drink. No wine over there in those areas, in some areas of France, without sugar, affordable sugar. Now, in California, I understand it's been outlawed. You can't do that. There's a name for that. I don't remember. It slips my mind. But in certain places in France, they need the sugar. But India may ban sugar exports. So here we have people, we're going to keep a price. We don't think into the future. We don't say, oh, wait a minute, we should be storing this just in case we have a bad stretch. No, just destroy it. We're going to spend money to destroy, more funds appropriated for destruction. We're going to get rid of all this wine to keep the price up, so that maybe the little guy in the street can't get it. Who knows? But India may ban sugar. So they banned some rice. And they are saying, we're going to store this for us. Unlike the French, who are going to destroy it just to raise the price. See, the value, the fiat. They want more of that in their coffers. The product is not important. In India, the ban could drive up global prices, trigger inflation in the food markets. Not the interest rate theft by the Fed and the IMF and those in the European bank. No, this is the inflation of the cost of food because someone's withholding it because they want to make sure they have enough. India is considering a ban on exports of sugar for the first time in 7 years. That's an interesting time. 7 years following diminishing cane yields affected by the heat and lack of rain. The country is the world's second largest sugar exporter behind Brazil, according to the International Sugar Organization, the largest consumer and product producer of the product. So, for those of you at home watching the prices go up, take note. A big producer in the world and the Global South BRICS member is holding back its product. So, anticipate this in your future as Biden wants to spend his money on things to kill you, on wars to kill you, on wars to kill others. On agencies that don't care that they kill you. Understand how this is working. And so watch the sugar. People say, oh, we don't eat sugar. Well, there's lots of sugar that goes on in the world, and a lot of products you would buy are contingent on cheap sugar. So watch for France. They're going to destroy all that wine and not have the sugar they can afford to buy. And then the cost is going to be cost too much. Not even the rich could afford it because they blasted out the middle class that would buy it. And only that one billionaire will have the money to pay for it. And he's going to find a competitor that tastes better. Here we have maybe sugar, a little bit too much sugar on this story. It might have had to do with their overactivity. Sisters detained in Kiev for twerking on dead soldiers' graves. So young women posted a video on social media of themselves dancing, and they claimed that they had visited their father's grave. I thought this was an interesting story. I don't know about this twerking. I don't know really what it means. It doesn't sound like it's something respectful. But you know, when you listen to what they were saying, and you listen to that they're young, and you see the world around you, and you see their witness, you kind of have to wonder, maybe it was true what they were doing. And what's the government coming after them for? The government came after these girls. The police went after them for desecrating the gravesite. The women, however, the women then claimed that after they were tracked down and posted their video twerking over a dead soldier's grave, they said they claimed that the one that was doing it claimed that she and her sister were aware of their deceased father's position on the burial culture and saw nothing wrong with their actions. So where I don't understand it, and it doesn't seem like it's respectful to me, to them and their father, that was their celebration. I didn't understand why then the cops had a say about it. Notwithstanding that was how they decided to honor their father, which it turns out it was, I think, if I read there was true, and beyond me to understand how that was, how could it be a state of offense in the country legalizing the promotional prostitution in that country? Which the lawmakers are saying to do so, to legalize prostitution, is to save the country, where 24% of the sex workers in the Kherson are between 13 and 17 years old, where promiscuous lifestyles are widely promoted for sending their father to the fodder fields, the state putting no value on his life or the value of the daughter's lives or of their family, that they twerk over his grave to honor him. How is that an insult? 13 to 17 year old. These girls are certainly within that experience range. That the police would actually condemn that shows you the disconnect in societies. Shows you that's democracy too. That's what Biden is supporting. That's what everybody who fears that Biden's going to bring peace. And you know that's all political too. They howl because he wants to bring peace on a society that the daughters believe twerking over their father's grave is honoring him. It is a bit sad to me. They found nothing wrong with it. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. What I'm saying is that that's certainly not typical. What I understood twerking is, I don't even know what it is, actually. I think I've seen it. I think it just doesn't. Disgusting in some level, actually, but that is what they held in them to honor their father. It really was, in a way, a shock to me of what our young people consider what their culture has descended into. And then the police, the government attacks them without allowing their father to be there. In that grave as well. And I have a link to the legalizing of the prostitution in Ukraine, to be or not to be. They're moving that through. It was fascinating. That's just, they're doing that to save Ukraine. I don't know if people get their ideas. And I don't even know that it's such a bad deal. I've heard in history that, you know, it's the first profession. And I guess it's not going away. It's not even a discussion about that. But in a society that allows that, how twerking, a daughter's twerking over her father's grave becomes an offense to the state that put him in the grave is really nonsensical to begin with. It's an insanity. And we're supporting that, if you will. I know some of you don't, but we're supporting that through this nonsense we hear through Biden and Hunter Biden and Burisma, and the prosecutor that has no evidence, and the ongoing crime against really everyone. And we see the result, the consequences, these young girls, in my mind, that more power to them, but that's how they celebrate the death of their father and their family. And with this, you know, talk about the legalization of prostitution, speaking of that, and we might have an epidemic of a cat scratch fever going on. UK man bitten by cat contracts previously unknown and extensive bacterial infection. I'm sure the UCC is not applicable here. By the cat contracts the bacterial infection. Folks in UK, you want to pay attention. This is a new one, I guess. And I don't know what this is, one of the ones that they've deposited to cause a new scare amongst us, but you better pay attention. Finding the highlighted role of cats as reservoirs as an as-yet undiscovered bacterial species is now a foot or hand or wherever it got him. A 48-year-old UK man bitten by a stray cat developed painful hand swelling and extensive infection caused by a previously unknown bacterium, a new study has revealed. The research published recently in the Journal of Emerging Infectious Diseases describes the case of a 48-year-old obese man who was admitted to the emergency department in 2020 with a hand swelling, multiple puncture wounds and abrasions about 8 hours after the sustained bite from a feral cat. The researchers found that it was a bacterium they've named Globicatella that caused extensive tissue, soft tissue infection in the man bitten. Those in UK, we have a now emerging bacterium that is serious enough to pay attention. They didn't know, boy, that gentleman is really lucky. He went in there during COVID, and it wasn't COVID that caused it. He's very lucky to have that happen. While the man was treated for potential infection, administered a booster-induced dose of tetanus vaccine. There's problems with that, too, folks. Given a number of oral antibiotics and discharge, he returned to the emergency department 24 hours later with an infection in his left, little, and right finger. So this one's persistent. I don't know if they're dropping it on us, if there's a new thing coming out there, but pay attention. We don't want that cat scratch fever. And maybe you do if you go to Ukraine. Maybe when they legalize all that other stuff, maybe you'll be right in there. But as we go on and see the dangers in life, maybe as you're walking to the grocery store, you maybe want to be careful of what an AI might suggest to your next or final meal. As a supermarket AI meal planner app suggests recipe that would create chlorine gas. So it may not be able to not want you to make a bacterium that a feral cat may deliver to you, but a supermarket AI might give you a recipe that Pack and Save will offer to you. It will make a recipe that maybe could be your last meal, as we see AI again. Maybe not quite quite up to par. A New Zealand supermarket experimenting with the US AI to generate meals plans has seen its app produce some unusual dishes, recommending customers recipes for deadly chlorine gas, poison bread sandwiches, and mosquito-repellent roast potatoes. So don't think a feral cat may be the only vector here. You may get it at your local Pack and Save. Now, they've said it's been misused. They've said people misused it, as you think that they would. But this is, I just want to point out, the AI is not to be trusted. 4,000 pieces of information in, you might get 9 out that are good and that are potentials, and maybe none are good, as we saw that one chemical, that one treatment situation. One was almost good or better than what they had found, but it was still a toxin. So watch out where the vectors of attack may be. They may come from AI, as people think of it, they think it's a better idea, and they let you play with it, and you forget, you have the responsibility to be careful for yourself. As AI pushing boundaries on a journey to mass mind reading. Ongoing thing, it seemed to me when I saw this story relative to the other, as you're punching in and telling the ingredients that you want, yeah, that could be a joke, but there was no function to filter through the problems to actually make food recipes. It just made any recipe. But they're also taking your inputs. And with all the technology they have, they can take all kinds of data from you, biometrics, while you're messing with these machines, these AI, and they're getting more information from you than you'll ever get from that, especially if it's your last meal. The AI pushing the bounds of journey to mass mind reading, you're using AI-powered technology to peer into the mind's eye, is no longer fiction, with increasingly more research across globe venturing onto this path. Cutting-edge technology has been unveiled by a collaboration of researchers promising to use AI-powered tools to potentially venture into such uncharted territory as mind reading. And remember, we're talking and have been talking about taking impulses from your brain and even deriving songs from that you heard before, songs from it, by being able to derive these signals and to take the patterning that they make and make sense of them, someone in third party using the tool to you, that they look at things like X, the global address book, and they start to take your inputs, and then they collect you up elsewhere in other places, and they keep taking your inputs, and they start to do something that mimics reading your mind. And I've seen some of the results. Some of the better stuff is quite magical in some regard. If you think IQ test is something, and you think that, then you might be one of those folks that can be persuaded. But anyway, so this is a very deceptive kind of technology. It can be a very good tool, and it's a very powerful tool when it's properly applied. And I think we're getting the dregs actually in society right now. And I don't know that we'll ever get the good stuff, but they give you, again, they're taking in probably as much, and they will fabricate, they will mimic. These will be good mimics beyond a lot of our perception. The photography that they're doing now is it's not perfect, but it's really getting to the point, a fast image, something that goes before you very quickly, is getting very, very difficult to discern that it's been a fabricated image. And so this is what they do. They will figure out the limitation of our senses, of our capacity to see. They'll understand when our eye looks at something, the frequency of it, and then they'll be able to interject inside that frequency, the beat frequency, and put information in, or actually look at you at some point with the right sensor, and look at you at that moment to see what's missing. And so the AI will be able to be programmed to be looking at these inputs, is all it is, and making some sense. Whether it's the right sense, I don't know, but it's sense. So very interesting. You can go to the supermarket and tell it to help you make a recipe, and it can poison you, or it can also be reading your mind as you're standing there, and there's going to be lots of tools and things to do that, as we see now, as I anticipate the next story. China crafts a weapon to alter brain function, report says, tech meant to influence government leaders. Well, they can focus on the government leader. This is meant for you, actually, as we look. China, and when you focus on China, don't miss the point. If China's doing it, they're all doing it. China's People's Liberation Army is developing a high-tech weapon designed to disrupt brain functions and influence government leaders or entire populations, according to a report by three open-source intelligence analysts. The weapons can be used to directly attack or control brains using microwave or other directed energy weapons. That'll succeed a few of you guys and gals, and boy, we don't have a forest nearby. In handheld guns or larger weapons firing electromagnetic beams, adding to the danger of China's brain war for weapons prior to and during a conflict, is no longer theoretical. We can read more. I want to suggest to you, let's go back to those LED lights. Those are programmable, and they're programmable to your mind. And so they're already happening and likely be able to happen in your world. And the United States government knows all about that. They've been studying this for years. I've been reporting on it periodically just to let you know and keep you abreast of the technology that can be used against us. And they did outlaw, I think it was Biden too, that did outlaw the incandescent bulb, so that they're now focusing in on this technology. But here we have a news about China, because it's a psychological warfare against China, and we're going to forget that the United States government does it too. And anybody, Russia does it too. In fact, Russia has some of the most interesting research done decades, a long time ago, that was very fundamental in how things are put together. They were very interesting when looking at their technology in these matters. I've talked about a lot of it over time. And so here we have just another acknowledgement. Again, these the AI, the technology drives it. The technology that it drives and can be driven by is right in our face. It's all that's going on. It's not just China. Russia, the United States will do it to its friends and its foes, as we hear, as we also see an interesting adaptation and application, which I would probably be more to agree with, if you will. Again, it's a tool. So to me, as long as you work with it as a tool, and you can use it for that, then why not? But be careful what you're going to find out from it, what you think you're finding. AI can speak to animals in a breakthrough that breaches the barrier of interspecies communication. Experts warn humans could use this ability to manipulate the wild species. Well, you're pretty wild, aren't you? Yeah, human animal? Yeah, I think this is just another cover about how they are looking at doing you, the listener, who would be susceptible. And I'm going to suggest to you that just because you think that you're not doesn't mean you are. Our physiology is pretty well tappable. We're hackable pretty well, pretty easily. I said it, Vince. Artificial intelligence is being used to communicate with animals that could soon provide some ability, the same ability to humans. Watch how they do this. A team of German researchers trained AI to mimic a honeybee's waggle dance. The AI powered a robot inside a hive which controlled the bee's movements. The technology can also be used to pick up low-frequency sound of elephants and decipher clicking made by whales. However, experts fear humans could use technology to manipulate animals. And I've told you before that rat experiment, I think it was the reverse. I think the rat was telling the soldier, don't make me look foolish, just wag my tail, and the soldier, that's all the soldier could do. But humans could soon be communicating with animals, and scientists worldwide are using artificial intelligence to speak to bees, elephants, and whales. But one expert fears the power could be used to manipulate the species. Okay, so we're going to keep saying that, keep knocking it down. But the point is AI is really cool at doing pattern recognition. And if you can make sense of the pattern, your AI gets better. It gets more powerful as a tool. And so now they're pulling together these sounds like the waggle dance. If you've ever seen a beehive, the waggle dance is a dance that a bee, that in one instance, it's found pollen. That's sufficient to excite it to go tell the rest, I've found pollen, I've found maybe even nectar. And the dance tells the other bees that are around them in the hive where that source is. And that waggle dance is direction and height and sun. And they found all kinds of interesting things. Well, the robot, they can take AI, mimic that, and they literally can tell the bees where to go. And that was some of the danger. I don't know why you'd want to do that. You send bees out to some place that has no flowers. I don't know what you just did to your hive. But the point is, this is the part of the AI that works on pattern recognition that is pretty cool. And the danger might be, and I don't know why you'd put all this time and energy to tell, what would you tell an animal? I mean, I don't know. I guess you go stomp on somebody's cornflakes, I suppose. You tell an elephant to go do that with a certain low-frequency subsonics, I suppose. But at any rate, I don't know. I think it's more of an interesting thing to see the technology being applied and what we can derive from it. Whether or not it's actual communication, I don't know. Whether we think we're now so powerful we're going to tell wildlife to do something, I'm not so sure that they're not smart enough to figure stuff out, as I see sperm whales taught each other how to escape hunters' harpoons. So they learned to escape once they figured it out. And so these are the same whales that they're doing the clicks and the pops, and they're figuring out how to communicate with a whale through AI. The question is, are the more intelligent creatures, or are the creatures intelligent enough, going to identify that it's an artificial signal? And how long will it take them to start ignoring it or escape it? It's going to be an interesting thing as we continue to anthropomorphize nature and say that we can subdue it. I don't know. We can. We can destroy stuff a lot, but that's usually what happens. We don't have the perfect mind, the perfect awareness, perfect knowledge to be able to look forward enough to do well, it seems. We seem to mess and screw things up. So this is just our tools. Our science is learning how little we know. We always are finding out, oh, we just found something new. We just found something new. Like I see lots of stories I never get to in science. We just found something new. We're still like little kids. But a new study suggests that whales learned how to evade the hunters by swimming upwind. of the harpoonists, among other methods, and passed on this knowledge to their underwater pals. So we have nature being fairly intelligent, outwitting man, anthropomorphic attacks of nature. The 19th century whalers apparently suffered quite a few setbacks as sperm whales. They hunted, taught one another how to outfox their human pursuers. This is going to be very interesting applied to that AI study, how the sperm whale now starts to click and pop and whatever they do to throw off the scientists. That would be pretty interesting to figure out that happened. But according to the media outlet, researchers who analyzed logbooks that were kept by whalers during the hunting forays in the North Pacific have established that the strikes rates of hunters upon their targets declined by 58% in just a few years. So this is pretty kind of exciting in a way that the nature does understand. It will try to adapt. Yes, we can overwhelm it, I suppose. A man could do that. But in this case, well, we still have sperm whales. So watching how we might communicate, that's going to be interesting. I hope if we can, with AI, learn to communicate, we do learn to communicate. Maybe they can tell us something. Maybe the wisdom of their wisdom will, since we've lost it somehow in our ability to do social media so well and digitize ourselves, we've lost our connection to nature, communicate with it. And being in nature is important, as I've learned over the years. Not understanding certain things and being around it, and you start, it takes time. It takes a lot of time to start being receptive to what nature is communicating to you and to receive it. It's kind of an interesting, it's really not even a mindset. It's a being. You just have to be there and be that thing, be with it, watch it, observe it, sense it. That's what I guess can be a mediocre tool that AI could do if we put it in that condition. Whales on their own figured out after watching their pal get harpooned, maybe I don't want that to happen, and figure that out. They figured out if they go upwind fast enough, the boats can't follow. The sails don't work. Figure that out, how cool that is. So their little AI worked out that pattern pretty quickly. And so just thought the two stories were fun. AI trying to communicate with the sperm whale. The sperm whale's out communicating with themselves to outdo what man was trying to do, which was to kill them. Pretty neat. Pretty cool protection mechanism, I suppose. The thing, we get back to man, though, the anthropomorphization of this hunting, a killer instinct going on, the harpooning of Americans, I suppose, in all this, the government predator looking to harpoon Americans, as the DOJ eyeing Americans like ATM spending over $6 billion to aid civil asset forfeitures. So this is what man does. This is anthropomorphizing is, where man hunts man, hunts the system, the financial systems that we built that are built to entrap us, and we accept it, apparently. We accept this idea that somehow the government can come and steal your stuff because they call it civil asset forfeiture and not a property taking. How they figured that out, I'll never know. But they did, and they do it, and there's a power. And this is the police power I'm talking about that everyone says, I don't want to comply, I won't comply. This is the power you're up against, that they spend this kind of money to come after you. And I'm just hoping that there's not serious ramifications for not showing how the government didn't have the authority in the first place before you say no. But the DOJ and the tax collector are probably the two most formidable, or the police as well, and this drug war are the most formidable police power protected conditions. And they want to harpoon your life with this fat, big fat energy producer for them. The government, and it's their money, see, they're getting it back. It's like they get to destroy this, and it balances things out as well. The federal government spends billions to identify and seize assets through forfeiture. They want to harpoon Americans. They want to use them like daily ATMs. And I think they're pretty good at it. The DOJ is eyeing Americans like ATMs. Think about that. You're just this little cash machine. It's not just a couple bucks either. Critics argue that Americans are often targeted by forfeiture fighting to get seized property back is difficult and expensive. And since forfeiture effectively places the burden of proof on the property owner, not the government, and because it's a civil case, there is no right to a public defender. And so these are the things that the government attorneys have figured out in order to go after you, and the judges have allowed to make it very difficult. This is not much different, and you think you're not a billionaire. This is the billionaire's problem. He has to go, has the wherewithal to fight them, just like you would. And so this is the problem. We're no different, even though we might say he's got a lot of money. The government comes and takes it from everybody. They took it from him until a court said that was wrong. In this case, you're not sitting, he's not sitting in the, you're not sitting in the right position, and you have to prove you had the right when the government sits there with the presumption it's right. This is the Comey swindle problem when you say, I don't comply. They're sitting in the power position. I've been saying this over and over. I don't think people appreciate this. You have to be able to knock out their power. And if you don't, then they are presumed to have it. And you're not going to be in a decision. But one of the quotes here is that you could be someone whose cash, whose car, whose home gets seized in order to support these funds, which they need in order to continue what they're doing. This is the game. This is the fraud. It's all legitimate. Fraudulent forfeiture is big business. It's organized crime is what I see. And I don't know more than to say they come after you like you're a little bitty fish in the ocean, and yet you come with this big harpoon, and you're going to try and figure out how to get rid of it when it gets you. Talk about AI, they're using all your social media, they're using the global address book eventually, they're using all your bank accounts, they're using your connections to all these digital systems, they'll be using the system itself that is digital that you allow. And the DOJ and the Revenue Department is sitting there to come and use you as the machine, the ATM that they need. And this is the world that we're walking into without much more protection. We don't even have the sense of a sperm whale to run away. And then notice it'll be only 42% of us will actually be able to escape. That's if we care to. And I don't see even that. I don't see but a few percentage that are riled up. I see a lot of people saying, I'm not going to comply. I'm not so sure that's going to be enough. And I'm not talking about the fact that you can defeat it now. I'm talking about the way they're locking it in and tying it up, making it more enveloping, more convoluted, taking away those things. Like I told you, what if it's the spike the needle in the haystack? That's real. How do you stop that one? Because what I'm telling you won't work. Have you thought that through? How do you stop that? And that's the one that they're probably going to come in and really do the damage to us, the government would do, with this power, this police power, to come and just take your stuff and put you on the wrong side of the law, and they are now the rightful owners because of they're just the government, just 'cause. Hope something I said today gives you some awareness, some perspective, how to see things, with that you can see things that you might be able to see for yourself, your future, what's coming up before you get run over by some dastardly deed of somebody or someone's ill intent. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips or Nature Really.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
A can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.